Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you can save. My name is Daniel Topp. I am here with Mike Clay. Our good friend Al Zeidenfeld is joining us. This is what is known as CSSDFS, or Clay Squirrel and Smizzle Daily Fantasy. In case you're ever wondering, we get that question every once in a while.
I was just going to say, some people right now are just like, oh, that's what that means.
That's what CSS stands for, Clay Squirrel and Smizzle Daily Fantasy Sports. So anyways, we are going to break down everything that is the Week 8 slate here for you guys. Really excited to be able to do this. Al, normally I ask how you're doing. However, earlier today, we told you that you're not allowed to have any parties in California. So I'm not going to ask you any questions. We're just going to wait. Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Because you got frustrated. You got frustrated because we were invited to a party that you were invited to.
Were you invited?
No.
Nope. Just me. I'm going to an adult Halloween party on Saturday night, which I can only enjoy for a little while because we of course have fantasy football now Sunday morning. So don't feel too happy for me, but you guys aren't invited. So
it's really messed up.
Al, that happens when you live so far away. Really. That's how it works.
Here's a real quick question, Al. As someone who's won the Millie Maker before, do you give out full-size candy bars in your neighborhood or king-size candy bars in your neighborhood?
Oh, see, that's not even fair because, like, I give out the full-size candy bars. I go to, like, the local bulk store, and every kid can have two of the full-size. I get a full selection.
They get the big
Snickers. They can have the whatever they want. They get two of each. Two candies for each kid, and they move along. Because I personally... Daniel, want to be a legend in my neighborhood.
That's right.
Like when kids grow up and go by there in college, you know, that was the house. That house gave out the big candy bar. Oof.
That's what it's all about. I like that big brain thinking there. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Really excited for Halloween this, like coming up next week.
Yeah, By the way, I just have a spoon, like a big container of yogurt, and I just spoon in some yogurt, throw in some granola, and that's what you get.
Parfaits are delicious. Yeah.
That yogurt with Greek vanilla yogurt with granola, that's better than ice cream.
I'm going to jump out of the bushes and I'm going to squirt honey all over their bags.
That's even better. Now we're talking, right?
All right.
I don't really do that.
Week 7 recap was tough. Mike beat me by 4 points in week 7. Ooh. It hurt. I had Amon-Ra St. Brown, unfortunately, go down early in the game, but you came back with another W this week.
Five-game winning streak, I think.
Five-game winning streak. S. Pavlovich had 224.24. Congratulations.
Well done.
In our daily fantasy league. Here's the thing. You can join our free league over at DraftKings. It's free to enter. $1,000 this week in prizes as well. Follow at Mike Clay NFL and at Daniel Dopp. We will tweet it out. You can follow our good buddy at Al Zeidenfeld as well. Mm-hmm. Al, where are some other places that people can find you? I feel like it's usually smizzle.tv/links. Is there another place?
That is the link that has everything that I do. So I'm live 5 days a week on Twitch, basically every morning, morning for me, noon to 3 Eastern time pretty much. And then on Sundays, 45 minutes before kickoff, if you're not watching Fantasy Football Now, you can tune into me on the interwebs. And then I got a bunch of videos that come out on YouTube, like 13 videos a week on my various YouTube channel.
That's trying to steal our Fantasy Football Now views there?
I said if you're not. Like if they're out of the house, they're on their phone. Yeah.
Well, everyone is watching.
Here's what happens. People tune in to you and I's DFS segment on FF Now.
Which is before I go live. Right. Mike's segment is before I go live for cash, and I take questions all the way up until lock.
But we're on all the way till 1, though. So,
well, if you're playing daily fantasy, we don't care a lot of daily.
Okay. I think you just watch Fantasy Football Now the whole time, and that's it.
It's a two-screen experience. You have one up on the regular TV, and then the other one's on your phone.
All right,
the earbud in your ear with me. Yep.
That's right. There you go. That's right. All right, let's talk about quarterbacks this week. Mike, as we have established, all you guys do is talk about players that are playing the Detroit Lions.
Every time.
And this week is no different.
Honestly, I wanted to talk about a quarterback, running back, receiver, and thought about a tight end against Detroit. They're all options this week. You can just pick your, you know.
It's you guys
just
don't like, even try to hide
like,
it.
It's like reaching into a candy bag. You can pick any piece of candy, take a bunch. Take four. Take five pieces of whoever's playing the Lions, because you can do it this week. And we're going to start with Tua Tagovailoa at 6,200. He is the fourth highest priced quarterback, so it's not like you're getting a major discount, but he's been pretty good in three of his four full games that he has played this season, at least 14 fantasy points and 260 plus passing yards. The only exception to that was the Bills. And, you know, we don't have high expectations for any quarterback against the Buffalo Bills. We know he has a massive ceiling. That game against Baltimore, 6 touchdowns and 469 yards. And you might think, well, the Ravens defense is just horrendous. And they were that day. Don't get me wrong. But they've only had 2 bad games. It was against Josh Allen and Tua, right? So they've been pretty serviceable. They slowed down Joe Burrow. They've been decent. And of course, the Lions 4th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. So we love the matchup here this week.
Yeah, you really do. It's really tough not to love it. I don't want to say anything else about it because it hurts, but you can feel very confident.
I just had the one stat. It's just we've exhausted all the stats on the Lions defense. They are, you know what? I'll say this. They're getting a little better since the bye. Like the last 2 games, we'll say.
Yep.
A little better. So maybe there's progress there. They've made some personnel changes. We'll keep an eye on it. But for now, they're still exploitable.
Yeah, it's tough not to be able to love Tua here, especially at this price point of $6,200.
Yeah, yep.
Al, it's tough for you not to love Sam Ehlinger at the price point that you have here of free, I believe.
Yeah, I have him listed as free. He is $4,000, the stone minimum, on DraftKings this week. Now, look. I talk about the rules that you want to play by in tournaments all the time, right? We want to stack our quarterback, we want to correlate, double stack with a bring back, everything else. I think that this is a week based on what we have on this main slate with Mahomes and Herbert off the week because of the bye week, Lamar, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, who's won the last 2 millionaire makers back-to-back weeks, Aaron Rodgers, Josh, they're all off the slate. So the stacking possibilities are more difficult and DraftKings has tightened the screws a little bit and made the pricing a lot tighter at running back and at wide receiver. So there's a way that you can correlate the rest of your lineup and just take Ehlinger, who was at least, even though he wasn't efficient on the ground, he ran the ball 110 times in each of his last, in his 4 collegiate seasons with 33 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He also had like a 5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So he was at least efficient. The fact that he is more mobile might disguise the inefficiencies on the Colts offensive line. It should help to at least try and move the pocket and have a little bit more RPO and read option worked into the gig there. So like all we need is like 15 fantasy points out of him. If that means that we could spend up to get to like a Tyreek Hill, Waddle, Amon-Ra stack around them, but that we might not be able to get to as efficiently by having to pay down elsewhere. I'm okay with breaking the rules when you've got a quarterback who can run a little bit, get you 15, 16 points, and allow you to spend everywhere else at the skill positions and correlate there.
Yeah, as a tournament play, the idea that you can have basically a free square, right? And then all of this other money elsewhere that you can play with. In cash, I think I would be terrified to use Sam Ehlinger this week because of the downside of it. However, Mike, how do you feel about it? Because everything that Al talks about, I know he usually sets a tournament lineup and you set a cash lineup, but like, we've talked about sometimes it's just like that value. Does Ehlinger at least make it on the value chart this week for cash games?
What is the price point?
$4,000.
Right, $4,000. So you need 12 points, and he might be able to, one rushing touchdown, he's basically going to get that. He's probably going to run for 30, 40 yards, you would think. He's at least going to throw for probably 100 yards. You could use him in cash. I mean, think about what you can do elsewhere.
I definitely have him as cash game possible. He's definitely eligible for cash this week.
That's $2,200 less than I'm spending on Tua, right? So it's definitely an option.
All right. There's a couple other quarterbacks that we like. Highest priced quarterback on the slate is Jalen Hurts at $8,300. Still good value, though, there.
Against the Steelers. Oh, yeah.
And then Daniel Jones, $5,700 taking on Seattle. He had the 100-yard bonus on the ground last week. He has 60 or more rushing yards in 3 games this year. Really like him against the Seattle defense that can be taken advantage of. All right, let's talk about running backs. Mike Clay, Saquon Barkley, $8,100, taking on Seattle, like we just talked about. I mean, how do you not like Saquon Barkley? And even at $8,100, that still feels like his floor.
Yeah, it's still too low for Saquon. I used him last week. I'm going to use him again this week. I'm going to keep using him until his price gets higher to where it should be. You mentioned Daniel Jones and putting 100 yards on the ground last week. You're not going to get that very often from him, even though he just had some value with his legs. But Barkley, you may get it. In fact, you've got it often this season, 24 touches and 129 yards per game. He is averaging. That is huge usage, huge production, and a huge floor, by the way. 16 plus touches, 88 plus yards in every single game he has played this season. He's first in carries, touches, yards. He's second in fantasy points only. Austin Eckler. And again, the floor, 17 plus fantasy points in 6 of his 7 games this season. So on top of all that, that's enough already.
Yeah.
That's enough to like him at this price point. They're playing Seattle. 5th most fantasy points to running backs. They've allowed 20 plus fantasy points to 5 running backs in 7 games this season. They've allowed 100-plus scrimmage yards to 6 running backs this season. So on top of everything we love already, this is a great matchup for Saquon Barkley. I'll gladly take him at 8,100.
Love that call there, and someone we hope should be a smash play this week. Mm-hmm. Al, let's talk about Alvin Kamara. You have him at $7,100. We got confirmation. Andy Dalton is going to be the starting quarterback under center, but talk to me about Kamara here in week 8.
So I like it when the puzzle pieces fit together, and 6 straight catches in 3 games for Kamara, 6-plus targets in 4 straight games. Opponents average 9 passes thrown to running backs per game against Las Vegas. Guess what? They've thrown the ball 9 times to Alvin Kamara each of the last 2 weeks. Like I said, I like it when the puzzle pieces fit together. You have a defense that funnels balls to opposing running backs, and you have an offense that has no wide receivers right now outside of Chris Olave. So if the ball's not headed to Olave on the outside, it's going to Alvin Kamara. You're basically getting wide receiver 1 usage and running back 1 usage. And considering that he is right now a card-carrying member of the Miles Sanders Club, scoring absolutely no touchdowns with a massive amount of volume, at least the Miles Sanders 2021 Club, I think that he's going to regress a little bit just based on the volume, yards, and talent. And like, it's enough already with Taysom Hill. It's enough. Let Alvin Kamara score, please.
He will.
I'm with you, especially on the Saints defense being ball funnelers. I think that they he should be the guy. He should be the guy here this week.
All right. Yeah. Touchdowns are coming. He hasn't had a ton of opportunity near the goal line, but the volume is going to lead to scoring.
Let's talk about a couple of other running backs. Damian Pierce. Why is Damian Pierce only $6,300, Mike Clay?
I don't know. Why is Josh Jacobs still $7,500?
That's a great question. Alvin Kamara, we also talked about $7,100. Derrick Henry, $8,400 taking on Houston. Raheem Mostert, sub 6K, $5,900 taking on the Detroit Lions. Michael Carter, $5,900 taking on New England. And how about this one? Something to just watch here. Tony Pollard is $6,100 right now. There have been some reports that Zeke may not play this week. Mike, if there is no Zeke, what do you think about Tony Pollard here?
Love him. I mean, he'll be in my lineup. Let's just say that. Okay. My lineup right now, the projections still have Zeke in there. He said he's going to give it a couple days and see if he feels better. So we'll keep an eye on that. Looking doubtful. And if he's out, Tony Pollard at 6,100 is going to be hard to bench. He was the number 1 scoring running back back in 2020. The last time Zeke was out, he's been terrific. He's going to play a big role in this offense. Their number 3 running back, so assuming Zeke's out, he would be number 2, is Malik Davis, who's on the practice squad right now. Like, they've just been promoting him as needed each week to be kind of their emergency running back. It's going to be the Pollard show. He might play 80, 90% of the snaps in this game, so he'll be a lock for sure. And by the way, Michael Carter on here, again, they traded for James Robinson. Breece Hall's out for the season. Robinson, we had Adam Schefter on the earlier Fantasy Focus podcast, and he said he's viewed pretty much as a good number 2 running back. Carter's probably going to be the lead guy here, especially this week. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if Robinson is going to play in this game. And if he is, he'll probably be limited. Keep in mind, they also brought up Zonovan Knight off the practice squad. So the Jets have 4 active running backs on the roster as opposed to carrying 3 all season. That could be a sign maybe Robinson is inactive for this game. We'll keep an eye on that. But anyway, I do expect Carter to be a 15-plus touch guy in this game. And that running back position for the Jets has been terrific this season. So Carter is a guy I like as well.
Okay. We're going to talk wide receivers when we come back. But first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with your homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more. And switching to Geico was an easy choice. Switch today. See all the ways that you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
By the way, Zeke, not practicing on Thursday. So another point in the direction of him not playing.
Yes, that is something to keep in mind. All right, let's look at wide receivers here this week, Mike. And as the DJ Moore apologist of the Fantasy Focus football crew.
That's true.
Here we are now. Last week, we finally saw it. DJ Moore got everything that we were looking for and expecting this year. He got in the end zone last week. Are you trusting it this week based on what his price point is?
Yeah, he was one of them guys that showed up with a double-digit point projection last week, and it was still like, man, it's tough to rank him this high, but we're chasing volume here, and guess what? It paid off if you utilize him last week. The number 9 scoring fantasy receiver in week 7, that was his first top 25 of the season, but he did have 10 targets. He did have a good yardage total with 69. He did have a touchdown. He does have 7-plus targets in 4 straight games. He has a 27% target share this season. That is 8th. At wide receiver, and it's just tough to not utilize guys like that, especially when they're priced at 5,300, the 24th priced wide receiver. So I do like him. On top of all that, great matchup here. The Falcons have allowed the most catches, touchdowns, and fantasy points to receivers. They've already allowed two touchdown games to opposing receivers.
Wow.
Four times a receiver has scored twice against them in a game. And just to make matters worse for the Falcons, number one corner, AJ Terrell, not expected to play. He's looking doubtful right now with a hamstring. Casey Hayward, their other starting corner, is on IR. They're very shorthanded. This all sets up for DJ Moore to have a good game.
Q. LaViska-Shenault scoring two touchdowns this week.
Probably.
Right? Yeah. But still, I'm with you on DJ Moore. Like, he's got, especially after last week, a little bit more excitement to be able to see what he can do. And that price point, $5,300, is still so low.
So low.
That's what it's all about. All right. Al, let's talk about Wandale Robinson, right? Mm-hmm. Giants wide receiver who's been coming on each of the last 2 weeks. Gets the Seattle Seahawks secondary. We know they can be taken advantage of. What do you like about Wandale?
The fact that he's been targeted on 12 of his 35 routes since finally coming back from injury. They have absolutely nobody else to throw the ball to. Yeah, he represents the Lollipop Guild. He's 5'5" wearing Timberland boots. But, like, that low ADOT and that athletic ability, when you put the ball in his hands in space, something that their coach is outstanding at doing, and they're force-feeding him targets. Like, 33% target share on routes run is ridiculous. There's just, with all the injuries that they have on the outside and the corpse of Kenny Galladay running around out there, it's just there's nobody else reliable they can get the ball to. So if they can get the ball in the hands of Wandale, I personally haven't projected somewhere between 12 and 13 fantasy points on DraftKings this weekend at his price point, like as a median projection. So his ceiling, if he finds his way into the end zone and maintains the target share that he's gotten, he left last game and had 8 targets at halftime. Didn't get any targets in the second half, but he was not listed. He practiced in full on Wednesday, not on the injury report this week. So if he's fully healthy and can play a full game, double-digit targets is definitely in the realm of possibility here for 4,700.
Mm-hmm.
What's not to like?
4,700. Obviously, you have Darius Slayton as the other wide receiver there, but they couldn't be more different in their roles on mm-hmm. this team, right? Darius Slayton is the guy that's just running straight down the field. And to your point, I know I say that a lot on this podcast, Al, like his ADOT is so low. Everything, his catches are so efficient from that standpoint. So if you're just racking up catches, I think you're right. I mean, it's Saquon Barkley and it's Daniel Jones. It's Wandale Robinson. And like, those are the mm-hmm. three guys for me.
Yeah. They were working in Daniel Bellinger. He's going to be out for a while. He might miss the rest of the season with that eye injury. So Wandale should be busy in this one. You're going to have to your point.
Hey!
You're going to have Slayton and DeMarcus Johnson on the perimeter. Not guys you're designing a lot of plays for, right? So it should be the Wandale show.
All right, a couple other wide receivers that we like. Tyreek Hill, $8,500, taking on my Detroit Lions. How do you not like that? Mm-hmm. Amon-Ra St. Brown, coming back and healthy, $6,900. That seems low based on the amount of volume he should get in this game. Jalen Waddle, $6,700 as well in that game. Here's a name, Garrett Wilson, $4,200, taking on the New England Patriots. Question marks here potentially with Breece Hall not being in there. Are they going to throw the ball a little bit more, Mike?
And Corey Davis is missing practice. He's hurt. I don't think he's going to play in this game. Wilson's tough to trust right now, but at 4,200 without Davis there, you can stick him into a cash lineup, I think.
Darnell Mooney, $4,800, taking on Dallas. Van Jefferson.
There's a punt.
Punt.
Yeah, he's risky, but he's expected back this week off IR. And would not surprise me at all if he's their number two or three. I mean, they're not really targeting Allen Robinson. He could be their number two receiver, and he's been known to catch the occasional 45-yard touchdown. So at 3K, again, you just kind of stick him in there and, you know, opens up a lot with the rest of your team.
Also really like Chris Olave at $6,000. That's just still too cheap for Chris Olave. All right, let's talk tight ends, Mike. And you already talked about it. Pat Freiermuth has been looking fantastic. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, gets your Philadelphia Eagles this week. I know we worry about that from a wide receiver standpoint. Do we worry about that from a tight end standpoint as much?
Not really. The last time we saw the Eagles, remember, they played the Cowboys. They won that one fairly comfortably. There was no Dalton Schultz mm-hmm. in that game. There was no Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys' backup tight ends had 7 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. So the Eagles, it's not like they've been horrible against tight ends, but clearly you can produce against them at that position. Teams have been forced to throw to their receivers against Philadelphia because they're trailing them, but the Eagles are really good against that position. You would think that would funnel some targets to tight ends. And look, targets are already being funneled to Pat Freiermuth. He has been terrific, 7.6 targets per game in his 5 full games this season, 9 targets and 75 plus yards in 3 of his 5 games. Think about that from the state of the tight end position. 9 plus targets 3 times in 5 tries for a tight end is great. He's been a top 10 scorer at the position 4 or 5 weeks. So all that added up, you're like, Well, it's got to be like 5K or something, right? 55. He's 3,900. That's way too low.
Yep.
Because of that injury and them struggling, I don't think Freiermuth is really getting the respect he should be getting from anyone right now. Just an underrated, really good season so far. So love him at this price point.
I am with you. He's somebody that I had in my cash lineup. I was trying to find a way to make him be in there, but because of the way pricing worked out, I had to shift some things. But I really like Pat Freiermuth this week. Al, before the show, during our pre-show meeting, you waxed poetically about how much you loved the tight end slate this week. You said week 8 tight end slate might be the best tight end slate that you have ever seen within DraftKings. Yeah. Talk to us about that.
Wait, hold on. Isn't it wax poetic? It's wax poetic.
Oh, is it just wax poetic?
No,
it's
not wax poetically.
Oh, sorry. It's wax poetic. Sorry.
I believe so.
I hate it here. I can't deal with tight ends this week. They're awful. All the really good ones are off the slate. We have like a cap of like 50 something hundred. So fine. I'll go with Dallas Goedert. He's got a touchdown or over 70 yards in 4 of his past 5 games. And he's been off the main slate for 2 straight weeks, bye week and then an island game. So like you might have people that are forgetting where he is. And I think that we're going to see a lot of percentage in tournaments on the cheaper tight end, specifically if Darren Waller's out again. So there's cheaper options. Everybody's looking for value because of how tight the slate is in terms of pricing. So getting to Dallas Goedert in a tournament lineup is going to provide you with a little bit of differentiation from the field.
Okay. Don't mind that at all.
No, I love Goedert.
Well, of course you do, Mike. That doesn't count in this scenario.
My only problem with him is that costs you $1,100 more than Freiermuth, who's just as good. That's the only problem
I
have. Thing.
You're paying up to be contrarian. That's like for a cash game, I think that everybody's paying down this week at tight end. You're going to hit on a couple of them. Obviously, Freiermuth is in there. And Noah Fant's like under 3K. So like there's a lot of ways that people are going to go in cash to just pay down, punt the position, get some cheap targets, and then spend up at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, we also got Tyler Higbee that we like, $4,200. Noah Fant, Al, you already mentioned $2,800 taken on the Giants. And Mike Gesicki, sub 4K, $3,800. Hasn't been as targeted as much this year, but when
the
you
last
take
two
on
weeks he has, though, Detroit things Lions have changed. I don't know if they're setting him up for a potential trade before Tuesday. I mean, Durham Smythe missed 2 weeks ago and he had the big game, and then Smythe was out again, or Smythe was back this past week, and Gesicki still saw some pretty good target volume. The box score wasn't as good, but the targets were there. So he's fine. Higbee, not getting any respect. He's been basically a top 5 tight end with like a 24% target share, and he's 4,200. He's a nice one here, although they're playing the Niners. Tough matchup.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
Gesicki's getting more targets now because of the fact that there's a little quid pro quo going on. He agreed to not gritty anymore, and they said, fine, we'll keep targeting.
Come 10 on. 10 targets a game for that, sir. Yeah.
Have you ever tried a gritty, Mike? Have you ever done it?
No. No one wants to see that. Who would want to see that?
I kind of want to see it. Al, do you want to see it?
Of course I want to see Mike Gritty.
You want a Gritty, Mike?
Not right now, I don't. All We're talking about my wife.
All right.
We'll save that for another day.
If I beat Mike Clay this week in our head-to-head matchup, Mike's got a Gritty on the show next week.
I have to figure out how to even do it. I don't even know. I wouldn't know how to start.
I don't know how to do it either. I don't either. I'll have to watch some videos. All right.
It's on.
Let's do our
beard. If I win, what are you doing?
I'll do.
I mean, give me your sweater. Forever.
This is from my great grandfather.
Okay, then you have to gritty then.
All right, I'll learn how to gritty. Teach me how to gritty. All right, so Mike, Beard versus the Brain, your head-to-head lineup this week.
All right, I will say this right now. With Zeke not looking good, I'm probably going to have to jam Tony Pollard in there, so keep that in mind. But right now, this is where I am. Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. My running back slots and my flex are exactly the same as last week. I couldn't believe it when I processed it, but the prices just not go up high enough on these guys. Josh Jacobs, Damian Pierce, Saquon Barkley. They're just not high enough. All three fit again, so that's what I have for now. Again, one of those will probably be Pollard. At some point, wide receivers, Chris Olave, DJ Moore, Garrett Wilson. Got a couple of rookies in there. Pat Freiermuth, of course, a tight end, and punting a little at defense here with the Bears, though. They've been serviceable.
That's a great lineup, though, and the volume that you are getting from that running back position is unreal.
Yeah, Jacobs carried me last week. He was awesome in that 4 p.m. slate. So I had a lot of 4 p.m. guys, so my team started off really poorly, but then they just kept pouring it on in that late slate.
Heck yeah, man. Especially if DJ Moore can contribute and keep doing what he did last week. That's a really nice lineup. I like that one. All right.
Thanks.
My week 8 lineup starts with Tua Tagovailoa. I also have Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, Trent Sherfield, Durham Smythe, and all of the other Dolphins playing the Detroit Lions. That's a joke.
I have a lot, though.
I do have Tua Tagovailoa and Raheem Mostert. I did both of them. You want to know why?
Why? Because they're playing the Lions.
Because no one's doing that. because I think it is very possible for Tua Tagovailoa at $6,200 to be a great value, and for Raheem Mostert also to hit 100 yards on the ground at sub 6K. I just don't think that when you talk about doing double stacks, I realize that's not the way you're supposed to do it, but I'm not doing like a real tournament lineup anyways.
It's cash. I mean, it's cash more lineup. Acceptable. In tournament, you're doing it to be contrarian. You would do something like that, but that's tough. It limits your ceiling, obviously.
Yeah, I'll limit your ceiling in just a minute, buddy. All right, I also have Tony Pollard at $6,100. Wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, $8,500. Amon Ross St. Brown in that same game, $6,900. We both love Chris Olave. Had to pay down for Noah Fant at $2,800 in order to get Tyreek Hill. And then I've got Wandale Robinson, $4,700, taking on the Seattle Seahawks in that increased volume. I like that a lot. With the Jets defense, $2,900, taking on Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi or somebody there.
Mac Jones. Yep.
It's okay. So it's going to be
reported by
Jones.
Our good friend Field Eats.
So the first half, he will take on Mac Jones. Second half, they will take on Bailey Zappi. But I like the Jets
and then
here.
And Brian Hoyer, maybe off IR. Yeah.
So I understand everything that we've talked about. I understand the idea of playing a running back, a quarterback, and a wide receiver all from the same game. There is inherent risk involved in that, but I just feel like there is so much value. I've watched too many of these Lions games. Maybe it's because when I watch myself get beat, I at least want to see something positive happen. So maybe that's what it is.
The Lions are going to show up this week now. Watch
they better not. I mean, they better. This is gonna be the better. Week. Stop. We would love that. All right, Al, give us your tournament lineup here for week 8.
I like your emotional free roll lineup that you had.
Though. I appreciate
it. If the Lions win, you're happy. And if they do badly and your team does well, then you're happy too. So you have an emotional free roll this weekend. Well done, Daniel.
Thank you, bud.
I'm going to go with Tua at quarterback. I'm going to double stack him with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm going to bring that back with Amon-Ra St. Brown. So smart. Very high priced double stack and bring back for me. I needed to find a little bit of value.
Ooh, I like
Michael Carter at running back to go with Alvin Kamara and his expected, let's say, 8+ targets this week if everybody else is out. I've got the island of Foster Moreau at tight end at 3,100. If Waller plays, I'm going to have to change that up a little bit, but that correlates well with Kamara as Las Vegas is playing against New Orleans. I'm going to punt off flex with Van Jefferson. I think that he's going to have a bigger role coming back than most other people expect. And I've got the Commanders defense going up against a quarterback that 90% of people in fantasy had never heard of until like Wednesday.
Wow. I don't dislike that at all. I think that's great.
No, those wide receivers are a lot of fun.
That's
you can
a
do
lot
some
of fun.
Serious damage there. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out. Al, you have who do the Patriots play this week?
You just said it. Who's your defense?
The Jets.
Patriots play the Jets.
All right. There you go. All right. Okay. That was all. I was just looking at his lineup. I was curious. All right. That's going to do it for us here in week 8. Do you guys have anything you want to add?
Nope. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Good
we
luck
love
to your
you
lineup.
Guys.
Happy Halloween.
On behalf of Mike and Al, we love you guys so much. Please love each other. Be kind to yourself. We can't wait to see you tomorrow. Tune into the Friday show. Mike and Field giving you everything that you need to know heading into the week. Smizzle.tv/links gives you everything that you need from Al Zeidenfeld. I'm at Daniel Dopp on Twitter. Love you guys. We'll see you.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.